to take from you what is rightfully yours. You got to keep your mind in the right place. The Bible says, be careful what you think on. The Bible says, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober. Bible says, think on these things that are good, that are lovely, that are just. That means that you have to stand watch and you have to stand guard over your mind. Amen. That means you are responsible for your thought life. If you don't guard your thought life, it will become a dumping ground for the devil. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we don't war after the flesh. It says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That means if your thoughts don't line up with the word, don't think about it. He said, cast down imagination, because you know what? Every imagination that your little mind think ain't God. You have to stand guard. You have to stand in judgment. You have to be able to discern what is God and what's not, what you're going to think on and what you're not. And anytime your thoughts start to pulling you down and making you depressed and making you sad and making you feel like you're all by yourself and making you feel like you ain't going to make it, I'm going to tell you the devil is working on you. And if your mind is not submitted to God, you're just going to sit there and take a beating. He'll keep on firing flaming missiles right into your head. He'll keep on doing it. He'll try to cram your life with so much of his thoughts that you can't even think straight no more. Now you're confused. But if you keep your mind submitted and say, nope, God loves me because the word of God says, I don't even have to feel like I'm loved. You understand? I don't have to feel like I'm loved to know God loves me. I know God loves me because the word says he loves me. I know God won't abandon me because he said he'd never leave me, that he would never forsake me. You understand? See, I don't have to feel something to know that God is real. All I got to do is submit myself to the word of God and say, if the word says it is so, and learn how to stand my ground. How many of y'all know how to stand on the word? You got to learn how to stand on it. That means not be moved off of it. That means when you don't feel like everything going right, you stand anyhow. You say, I know what the word says. And then you discipline yourself to think the word.
You have been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center. I trust that you've received the word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $5 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street in Alexandria, Louisiana, just 2 blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
KKAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Jesus. Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do. Praise his holy name. From the book of 1 Peter, chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. 1 Peter, chapter 5, verse 1 says, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Verse 2, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated. As Peter has given this word to the church, it's interesting because Peter, as a young man whom the Lord Jesus Christ saw much in, prophesied over his life and revealed to his life what he was and what he would become, is interesting because here you have Peter telling the leaders, the elders of the church, to feed the flock of God. And it's interesting because this hails from an intimate conversation, declaration, and decree that Peter received according to the Gospel of John, chapter 21, beginning at verse 15, when they had brought in the food and finished dining from the catch that they had out on the sea. And Jesus asked Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter said, "Yeah, Lord, you know I love you." And he said, "Feed my lamb." And then verse 16 records that he asks the question again. And again, Peter responds, "Yeah, Lord." He says, "Feed my sheep." And then verse 17 records, Jesus asks the question again. And Peter says, "Yeah, Lord." And he says one more time, "Feed my sheep." Now, my brothers and sisters, when we look at this conversation, and we must understand the profound impact that this had on Peter when Jesus asked him these three questions. And it was because of the issue of love and the issue of responsibility connected together to Jesus and to that Jesus loved, which was the sheep. Now, knowing this, Jesus, knowing he's getting ready to leave this place, was preparing Peter all before. Now, after he has risen from the dead and he asked Peter these questions, you do realize this is after the resurrection. He asks Peter these questions now. It's now that Peter has another chance to get it right. It's as if Peter now has another opportunity to show his true love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the things that you're going to realize is that Jesus wanted him to understand that if you love me, you'll do difficult things for me. You see, I don't think that it's the responsibility of folk who think they want to be what they want to be, to do what they want to do. It is the responsibility of the people who have been called, chosen, divinely appointed to know it's their responsibility to do what the Lord has called them, chosen them, appointed them to do because they love the Lord. Now listen, there are just some things money can't buy. It'll help you on the journey. It'll encourage you a little bit. But there are just some things that money can't buy. And Jesus wanted to make clear that the love for him was stronger than any monetary, any earthly, or any material ties. "Peter, do you love me?" And of course, in him affirming all three times, yes, Lord, we come to this point now. Peter was a younger man then. Peter is an older man now. 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning at verse 1, says this: "The elders which are among you I exhort." Now, this word elders here has a dual connotation connected. It's talking about the elderly. It's talking about the older men. And then secondly, it's talking about those who are in ministry. And look at what he says: "Who am also an elder." Hey, look, I'm an old man and I'm a preacher. He says, so I'm talking to you because I know what I'm talking about. And he has had a personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. So that he's talking about is firsthand reference, not something he heard or got somewhere else. He's telling you what he knows. Look at what he says: "And a witness of the sufferings of Christ." He said, listen, man, I'm an elder. I've been around a long time. He said, what I'm telling you ain't just no talk. He said, I done walked with Jesus. I've been there with Jesus. I've seen what Jesus has gone through. I was a young man. He's an old man now. He was a minister then, ministering with Jesus. He is still staying on the battlefield ministering now and yet, and he's exhorting the elderly of his congregation and those who are of the church, and he's telling them, listen, he says, "and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." He said, listen, I've experienced the past and I know what that's like. He said, but lest I get held up, caught up, hung up in the past, I want you to know there is a brighter future ahead. "And of that brighter future, I will also be a partaker." You see, one of the things that you've got to know underneath the skin is all of the sufferings that you go through, everything that you put through, everything you deal with, you've got to know that it's going to pay off after a while. Maybe not right now, but later it's going to pay off. And you're going to discover that when you are a witness of what Jesus has gone through. Listen to what he says. If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. Jesus, listen at this, was an example for his disciples, just as his disciples are to be the examples for the flock. In other words, Jesus gave the examples for us as in living and in dying. So there is no mistake about how we ought to conduct ourselves, how we ought to live, and even how we ought to die. Because Jesus himself made all of that clear. And so when we get to verse 2, it's interesting because there is a directive here that Peter gives to the church. And I want you to see this because he starts off with this word, feed. 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 What does that mean? It means to provide the proper and appropriate diet for the sheep. Feed. It means to nurture the sheep with what they need. Feed. It means to provide for them the sustenance and substance that would help them grow strong. Feed. Look at what he's saying. When this word feed comes into play, it's literally saying to do divinely as designed and dictated as a diet appropriate for the sheep. See, I got to tell you, all animals don't eat the same thing. Now notice here, he said, feed the flock, not slop the flock. Do I have any old folk here of older folk who know what slopping hogs is? I grew up in a little town called Grove State, population 680, and we had a few hogs. And my grandmother had a 5-gallon bucket. And after every meal, everything that wasn't eaten was taken and placed in the bucket. And as it was in the bucket, what was in the bucket mixed with one meal after another meal. And fermentation began. Flies would fly over the bucket. And if it stayed there too long, maggots. Yeah, I wish I had some witnesses. And then they would take the bucket and go out to the hog's trough and throw it down there in the trough, or just throw it down on the ground in the mud, and the hogs would go and eat the slop. I wish I had a helper. And they really didn't care about what they ate. And my brothers and sisters, Jesus made clear that we understand that we are not to slop the sheep, but feed the flock of God. And so when you begin to understand, it means then that the sheep don't eat no anything. God has a designed diet prepared for the sheep, and it comes out of his word. And some of us come to the pulpit with slop. Stuff that's not nutritional, not healthy, not capable of helping the sheep to grow. And so my brothers and sisters, you got to understand, Peter was clear when he said, feed. And I got to tell you, everybody's not qualified to feed. Listen at this, because he gives in this directive some clear answers. Because when you talk about this, he's also making clear when he says feed who? He says what? The flock of God. That's a dedicated detail. The flock of God among you. A dedicated detail means that these sheep are assigned to you. And that's why I keep trying to tell our folk and help them understand that everywhere you eat is not, it might be good to you, but it may not necessarily be good for you. That you've been prescribed a diet that God wants you to have, to help you grow and to become stronger and to understand what it is he wants for your life. It's important to understand he makes clear the flock of God that is among you, which means that you have a dedicated detail, which means that these sheep are assigned to you, which means I give you the food to give to the sheep so that the sheep will have what they need, and I know what the sheep need. You may not like it. You may not want it. Good parents know what their children need. Children may not always want to eat it. You can't grow children on snacks and treats and desserts. Oh, that's a part of giving them every now and then those things, but that's not a healthy diet consisting just of those things. And sometimes the sheep just want snacks. And that's why they'll shout on snacks and get mad and pout on good food. But when you know what to feed them, they'll get over it sooner or later. But folk that come in that just want to shut the sheep up, they'll give them what they want just to shut them up. And they like the sweet moan and the beautiful tone. And oh, they're all right. but it don't do nothing for the soul. Doesn't do nothing for understanding what God is requiring of you. Understanding what the test is about for you. Understanding what God requires of you. And so he says, feed the flock of God, which is among you. That's so important to understand this detail that God has given to every pastor. Look again, because I want you to see something else. Because he says this, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Oversight, what does that mean? It means to look upon, inspect, oversee, look after, care for. Look again. It says to look upon. See, when the shepherd is looking, it's my job to look upon you. See, sometimes you can spot what's going on the inside by what's going on the outside of the sheep. Can look at you and just, you see something there. But then when you look upon, it also will alert you for what may need to be a more deeper inspection. Lord, laid you on my heart. Put you in my spirit. Not only to pray for you, but sometime to contact you. Everything all right? Oh, yeah, no. Okay. And go further into it. Oversee. See. Why you think I'm up here? I can't be down there and see over you. I'm elevated not just to be seen, but to see. Somebody might be blocking you, so I got to look over there. Brother Reed, you all right there? And see over. Brother Johnson, everything all right? So and so. Look, this is a part of what he is telling them, because there is an intimate connection between the shepherd and the sheep that's divinely given that none other can give. Look again at what he goes on to say. He says to look after, see over, look after, care for. And so when you care for, it means sometime, and I know parents can certainly identify with this, when you care for the sheep, the lamb, and know they're hungry, you cannot be feeling good. But you muster enough strength together to get up and pick some something to eat. Now may I say to you that every morning may not be grits, eggs, bacon, waffles, pancakes, and sausage. And sometimes it might be some cereal and milk and a piece of fruit. But you're going to make sure that whatever it is you give them, it is healthy and nutritious, and it's something to get them started with, because you care for them. Listen, and if you got older brothers and sisters, even if you can't do it sometime, you say, go in there and fix your brother something. Fix your, have I got anybody talk to me who know what I'm talking about here? That's because you care for. And caring for doesn't necessarily mean that you have to do everything yourself, but to make sure that it's done, because you care for them. Listen again, because I want you to see something else. It says, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, not by force, not by somebody making you have to do it. Because here is the thing. When they stop putting pressure on you, when they stop making you do it, guess what's going to happen? You're going to stop doing it. See, there are just some things, again, you ought to understand that man can't make you do. It has to be done because you love the Lord. And because you love the Lord, you go further, you go deeper, you give more because it is what is required of you because you love him. They may act up. It's the nature. They may run here and there and all right, but it's the nature. You got to do for them because you love him. And look again at what this word says. It says, but willingly. Willingly. Now, I can't say enough about this word willingly, because it conjures up not only a desire, but an attitude that says, yes, it's difficult. Yes, it's rough. Yes, it's tough sometimes. Yes, this is something that I wish I could do differently, but I willingly do it because I love you. And because it's done willingly, listen, he can rest knowing that he's not forcing you to do something that's ultimately going to be difficult for anybody. Look again at what he says. Not for filthy lucre. Listen. This word lucre means base gain or money. He says, I'm not saying you can't do it for money. He said, I'm saying you shouldn't be doing it for filthy money. Y'all gonna catch that. He says, not for filthy lucre. Listen, not for filthy greed or gain or doing it just for money's sake. You're doing it for the sake of the sheep, and the money comes because you're doing it willingly for him. Listen, I've said before, in the words of the late Dr. Caesar A. Clark, I'm so glad right now in my ministry, by the grace of God, I am thankful to him that I preach because I have that calling, that anointing, that assignment, that I don't have to preach for money. But, let me put that there quick. Because some of you holier than thou folk get off. Well, we ain't got to pay you then, you don't preach for no money. No, I don't preach for money, but I'm giving money so I can freely preach. You can't preach good with your lights off and worrying about when you're going to get kicked out. You can't preach good worrying about how you're going to get to church and how you're going to smell trying to hitchhike trying to get to church. And what time you can't preach. I wish I had a helper. And you hungry and hoping you can get enough after you preach to get you a little something to eat. You can't preach well when you are in a dire strait. But oh, it helps me to preach well when I ain't got to worry about money issues, when I don't have to worry about health issues, when I can go to the doctor because something's wrong because I got money to go to the doctor. It helps when these eyes are acting up and I got some glasses to put on to help magnify these words till I can get something done to these eyes and get all that stuff straight. It helps to have money to be able to do these things, et cetera, et cetera. I'm giving money so I can freely preach, not for filthy lucre, filthy greedy gain, just a stack and store and a half to do stuff that's not worth anything. Listen to what this word says. But of a ready mind. Now, when I look this word up, ready, it really talks about dedication, but of a ready.